Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Do you ever find yourself struggling to hold space for your wife's irrationality, for her bit of craziness, for her madness, or the wild energy that comes through her, that emotional fire? You know, the feminine metaphor most used is the storm. It can be hard. It can feel really hard to handle that level. You know, that level of irrationality. We want to just go like, hey, let's meet me rationally. You know, I'm giving you solutions to your problems. I'm giving you a black and white readout of this situation. Why are you still stuck in that pool of irrationality, etc., etc.? Every guy out there, myself included, is like, hey, it's still a challenge, because it's the challenge. The feminine challenges the masculine. That's part of the beauty of it all. So if you're saying yes in any way, shape or form, that means you're a dude and you're in marriage, because it is that beautiful challenge. And I'd say that's probably at the outset, it's like to start seeing it as a beautiful challenge. So hence, I'm bringing in Marilyn Monroe wisdom on how to be a great lover. The inspiration for this episode was actually our 14-year-old daughter, Anya. I went into her bedroom. We unschooled our girls. It's like, I won't go into the whole reasons why, but radical, authentic human expression is like one of the highest values I have. It's like allowing that come through myself, but through my girls, through my queen, and guys in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, like that's a foundational point, a whole point. It's like to be alive, that your full human expression is coming through. So I went into Anya's bedroom there the other day, and I'd seen that she had spontaneously done in like bright red marker. The ceiling is white. Now it's a sort of a sloped ceiling, so it wasn't literally up. Anyway, on the sloped ceiling over her desk, in quite big writing, she wrote 6 or 7 or maybe 8 quotes in total of badass women. She's all these books that she gets, like powerful women, women that have done cool things in the world, and their autobiographical sort of the story about their just the amazing transformative stories of these powerful women. And of course, with their mother, they have like an absolute feminine badass there. So to say that they're in an environment where feminine energy is celebrated is an understatement. But I think it was 3 of the quotes that she had up on her ceiling now are from Marilyn Monroe. So here's this 14-year-old girl in an environment with her parents, with her mom, like feminine energy is celebrated, masculine energy as well, of course. And she's so inspired by these quotes, she puts them on the ceiling. So I'm there, I'm always seeking inspiration in the environment, what's coming. And I was like, yeah, that's my podcast episode this week. I always try to get episodes that just put me on fire. So that fire, that passion, that enthusiasm, that's the it's infectious, that I just try and make sure that every episode I'm naturally in that moment, like it's really meaningful what's coming through me. So it struck that inspiration and I said, yeah, let's go. So there's definitely 2 of the quotes that Anya has put in her ceiling, and I've 2 more. So there's 4 quotes, and I'm just gonna go on a wave of inspiration. I'll read the quote, and then within the cultural context, the words that I use and we use in extension in the expanding movement. There's, by the way, there's 39 members. More guys coming in. We started with 6 guys in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles 14 months ago. It's epic what's happening there. So keep an eye out for that. The link is in the podcast description as always. It takes 30 seconds of insane courage. Get in there, guys. Best time to plant a tree 20 years ago. Second best time today. Today, right now. Okay, so the first quote that Anya put up, and it's like the main one is a little bit longer than the second one. From Monroe, I'm selfish, impatient, and a little insecure. I'm out of control and at times hard to handle. But if you can't handle me at my worst, you sure as hell don't deserve me at my best. Boom. It's like unapologetic feminine at its best. And the major issue we have as men is we've been conditioned to be nice guys. And the Mr. Nice Guy persona, it's like almost all pervasive. Every guy has some element of it. It fears feminine power. It fears feminine unapologetic sexual expression. It fears feminine emotionality. It fears irrationality. It deeply fears displeasuring the feminine. Like, touch base with yourself. Do you ever find yourself that you're conflict avoidant with your queen? Maybe en masse, like in your whole life, but especially with your queen. Just like, oh, Jesus, like, you know, your heart rate rises. You just don't want to have that conversation, and you'll say and do things to try and keep her permanently in a state of she's pleasured. She's okay. All her needs are met, you know, like, but deep down, it's because you're running scared shitless. Some part of your nervous system is scared shitless of upsetting her. Because when the upset comes and when she gets super hot-tempered, even super red-hot passion comes through her. You know, it's both displays. It's the displays of, I really don't like negative, positive, negative emotion. It's like the pleasurable emotions, the so-called pleasurable emotions, the sort of bliss, sexual passion, like all that badassery part, and then the challenging emotions of, you know, her sadness, her grief, her dismay, her disgust, her frustration, her anger, etc., etc. Do you find yourself that there's parts of you, there's a part of your nervous system just doesn't know how to contend with the fullness of your wife's emotionality? She has an orchestra of like 200 different emotions, and the feminine in her full unapologetic essence will display them red hot at a moment's notice, in a nanosecond of them feeling it. They'll go there if they're feeling fully free to do so. And yet, it's a rare man that holds space for that level of expression. That's what we do within Heroic Husbands men's circles, within the culture. It's like mountain in the storm. You need to be her mountain in the storm. What is it about the mountain? The mountain, as it relates to the storm, it doesn't retreat. It doesn't go and attack the storm going, how dare you be bombarding rain and hail and snow and winds and hurricanes my way. It's like, whatever. It's like, I'm good. It remains. So the beauty in this Marilyn Monroe wisdom is like, she's stating, you know, she's claiming, I'm selfish, impatient, and a little insecure, and I'm out of control and at times hard to handle. But it's the growl that comes through her. It's like, on a level, like, you know, women in modern life, women have been bombarded that by default, and not in just in modern life, it's like centuries, if not millennia, that there's been this suppression of the feminine principle. Not just in women, but in men as well. But it's like women have been hard done by in society. And, you know, from a level, it's like what Monroe states, it's like, I'm selfish, impatient, insecure, I'm out of control and hard, and at times hard to handle. If she left it at that, it's almost like through the interpretation of the suppressed female psychology, it's like, well, they're just negative attributes. Like, that's wrong. That's what's wrong about me. I'm inconvenient when I'm that. But Monroe puts the spin on it, and it's like, in perfect alignment with masculine and feminine sacred teachings going back millennia, it's like, and what? It's like, there's whatever. Like, that's what comes with me. If you can't handle me at my worst, you sure as hell don't deserve me at my best. Because there's an inner knowledge of her feminine essence. And hence, you know, how many years later is it? Like, I forget like exact times, but it's like, is it 70 years later? We're still talking about her at her best, because she was unapologetic. She inherently knew, it's like, I'm all of these things. The selfishness, the impatience, the insecurities, the out of control. She knew, hey, there's times I'm hard to handle, But she knew that the fire and the emotion and the passion and the fury that came through her, you know, it's all of her. And that heat, the range of emotions that she allowed come through her was actually the beauty of her. That there also was the sexual bliss. The other side of the coin was the bliss, the laughter, the humor, the wildness, the joy, the sexuality, the connection that came with that. It was all red hot. And she was like, hey, if you can't handle me on my worst, you're not going to get the good shit. It was like, it was a direct challenge to the masculine nature in any man that was going to pretend to be her king, to be her lover, to be her partner. It's like, if you can't handle me at my worst, you're not going to get me at my best. So you better fucking man up. Be, in our language, in this culture, be my mountain, be the mountain in my storm. Earn your right to hold space, to be my partner, to be my lover, etc. So, great wisdom there, guys. It's like, it's at the core essence. You know, at the beginning of every episode, you'll know, hey, kingly brothers and heroic husbands. Well, kingship and masculine heroics, heroism, it's all about learning to hold space in the presence of intensity, to be able to relax in and breathe into intensity is threatening to cripple you psychologically, but you breathe deeper into it, and thus you allow the emotions inside of yourself flow, and from there you're breathing deep, you're holding your posture still. That's the masculine pole. The masculine pole of in any situation is, it's actually the person, it doesn't have to be male, female, the person who is breathing deepest and holding the stillest posture and the steadiest eye gaze. That's the person who holds the masculine pole. That's what you need to do. Again, actually, that's your 3 point, like, that's the 3 points what you need to do to hold space for handling your queen when she's supposedly at her worst, when the intensity, insecurity, the impatience, the selfishness, she's saying things about you, she feels out of control. You just shut the fuck up. Soft, loving, yet penetrating eye gaze with her. Slow your breathing down and breathe deep into your belly. And still your posture. Be with her, facing her, preferably close, as close that is comfortable for her, and be her mountain in the storm. That's leaning into this Marilyn Monroe wisdom. The second quote is coming in, and this is, the real lover is the man who can thrill you by just touching your head or smiling into your eyes, or just by staring into space. The real lover is the man who can thrill you by just touching your head or smiling into your eyes or just staring into space. What the hell is going on here? Well, yeah, like, by my commentary. Who am I to comment? Well, fuck it. I set up the podcast. I'll bring whatever wisdom comes through me. I'm not saying there's an absolute truth. What inspires me about this, of all the different quotes that I read. There this morning, there was the 2 quotes that I took from my daughter, but I was reading other ones. I wanted to bring a few extra. What I dug about this was, it's all about presence. You know, the real lover is the man who can thrill you by just touching your head or smiling into your eyes. He can thrill you by doing those simple things, but the vast majority of men, I know definitely myself, for years, you know, a touch of my queen in her head and smiling into her eyes, it wasn't thrilling her. So I want to just, like, bring your awareness to that. It's like, you know, some of you could go, well, I don't know, I touch her on the shoulder, touch her on the head. I do the affection thing. I do smile and look into her eyes, but, like, thrill her? She doesn't respond. You know, it's like, she's broken. She's not nice. Like, all of that type of shit. Why I love this wisdom is, like, the real lover is a man who can thrill you by doing these simple things or just staring into space. In my world, that's pointing to a man embodying presence. In this movement, presence we define as unwavering focus with the person you are with, or the task you are performing to full completion. Now, in these definitions, I've tried to get it as practical and as task-oriented. You know, it's like that the definition allows you do something to embody presence. There's many exceptionally deep definitions and ways to describe presence, but it's that unwavering focus. You're fully in the now. Like, touching ahead, you know, if you're stuck in your head and you just, I rubbed her head. You know, it's like, I rubbed her hair. the quality isn't there. And the feminine sensitivity, you know, it's like, they paid a price. I speak to this and I want to bring it again and again. Why the feminine feels way more entitled to challenge the masculine? Number one, masculine grows by challenge. A strong, powerful man runs to challenge. He loves challenge. And even if he doesn't love it, he aims towards it anyway because he loves the process. He knows, like, riding straight into intensity. Again, it's chase the storm or the storm chases you. That's masculine practice in life. You're going to chase the storm, even if you're scared shitless, even if it's like, well, especially if you're scared shitless, because you know, as a man, if you run away from the storm of life, if you run away from the storm of your queen, you're never going to be at one with intensity, thus you're not going to be a trustworthy man. Yet, when you run towards the storm, and when you practice unwavering focus, like I said, on the back of what was coming through me, the inspiration that was coming through me on commenting on the first quote of Marilyn Monroe, you know, when you have the unwavering focus practice of being fully with your queen, being fully with life in the present moment, your unwavering focus is, it doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter whatever the external world fucks your way, your unwavering focus practice is, you're going to relax, you're going to breathe deep, irrespective of what's happening in your nervous system, what's being revealed, fear, shutdown, you know, like whatever. You'll breathe deeper. You'll penetrate that situation, that person with your penetrating, powerful, courageous eye gaze. You'll see no obstacle, and any obstacles you do see, you will transcend them. And you'll hold a still posture. You're just immovable. That level of unwavering focus practice brings a quality, an emotional, felt, visceral quality to your presence. You know, from there, your eyes communicate depth. Your face, your voice communicates depth. Your voice will, like your speech, you will be slower in your speech. There's a depth and a velvety quality to that speech. I think it was Chris Voss. I was doing a masterclass in his on negotiation. Fucking great masterclass. But he was talking about the late night disco DJ voice. You know, it's like he was talking about it tactical, but it's like there is a quality that starts coming through you when you're fully with your queen. When you're fully present, you're loving her, you're loving the moment. Presence, the emotion link with presence is love. It's love of life, love of your queen, love of yourself, love of reality, radical acceptance of what is, you're so there. From there, you touch your queen's head, you touch her hand, you stroke her, you smile into her eyes. You're sitting there staring into space, but you're not, again, the quality of presence is, you know, like, why does Monroe say, hey, you know, it's a real lover is a man who can thrill you by just staring into space. Staring into space, if you're a regular dude, if you're me, when I'm stuck in my head, I can be zoned out in a trance. Staring into space, it's a turnoff to my queen. It's repulsive. Because, again, there's the quality in this. If you go rash, like complete rational minded on this, guys, you'd be like, yeah, I've stirred into space. And again, it's like, she gives out to me. It's like, oh, where the fuck? You're stuck in your head. Your queen will know. But there's a quality of presence, like a man staring into space, where you're at one with life. You're staring into space, but you're in that moment, you're at one with life. You're at one with the sunset. You're at one with... yeah, you're on purpose, and maybe you're staring into space. Maybe you might even be lost in your thoughts, but in that moment, it's thoughts that's inspiring presence in you and depth, because it's thoughts of the depth of importance. Like, it literally could be the meaning of life, the meaning of your life. It's, what is your purpose here? And you're so there in that moment, that it's not a simple mundane moment. That's a fucking turn on for the feminine. Because again, it's the quality of what's coming through your nervous system. Your body is constantly transmitting a message that's evoking a response. And you can bet your bottom dollar it's the quality of presence that Monroe was speaking about. The real lover is a man who can thrill you by simply doing mundane things that every dude does. But when the real lover does it, he is so there. He is so unapologetically just fucking present. He's not caught in his head. You know, stroking, ticking a box, kiss, like in his expressions, in his connecting with you, his lover, you know, your queen, it's reverence offer that when you touch her, when you're with her, when you do these simple things, you know, it's like everyday things, or ideally, you'd want them to be everyday things, you know, the kissing and the touching and the expressions of love and those simple things. It's reverence. It's to bring an act of reverence that you're not just ticking a fucking box of a long list of shit that you've got to get done. You, like, most women, most wives are feeling like if you're doing, the husband, hey, you're ahead of the game if you're actually doing cool things like touches and signs of affection. So I'm not saying it's wrong. You're ahead of the game if you're doing this stuff, but it's the next level. The hero in you, the king quality of it is you're so completely there with her that it's an act of reverence. You realize that this woman, if life took her from you in a moment, if you got that phone call and, hey, let's get fucking real. Masculine practice is to honor. Spiritual worship honors that death is coming and you don't know when it will take you, take your queen, take your kids. You don't. You do not know that. And that's inspiring to the masculine soul, because when you accept that and you reflect upon that and you don't get caught in same shit, different day, ticking fucking boxes, waiting till 12 years time when your career ends, waiting till your kids fucking fly the nest because you're a coward and you're just putting it on the busyness of the kids, not on your lack of fucking getting your shit together and getting present and being able to deal with your sense of overwhelm. Again, there's nothing intrinsic in your environment. It's, if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's not the amount of tasks, it's because you haven't disciplined yourself and trained your nervous system to fucking show up and get your shit in order. The vast majority of guys are so caught in their head and the overwhelm of life that even when they do things, it's not thrilling to their queens. Their queens will feel repulsed by the kiss, will feel... it's just because why? They know their guy is not fully fucking with them. Their reverence? Reverence? Not even close. And that's... I just want to like bring it into landing here. The real lover. And you do have that power in you. Every single one of you. This is like a way. It's in a way of life. Heroic husbands. It's a way of life. That you get so present. You practice unwavering focus. That your queen can finally feel you viscerally. You know, it's like, where the fuck was this beast all those years? In actual fact, one of the key things that the vast majority of wives, when guys enter the circle and they get up, and the guys, definitely, it's not every single guy, but like the vast majority of guys attack it, get in, get stuck into to the work and submerge completely into it and start making it a way of life. The vast majority of wives will go through a phase of, well, why all of this brilliance now? You know, why this great guy now? Where was that guy the last 20 years? Good fucking sign, guys, because they're feeling the pain and the suffering of your best not being there. So it is there. There is a latent force in you. Takes training. It takes the right environment. It definitely is supported by accountability and a bunch of dudes doing the exact same things. There's an inarguable thing with that. Great performers never do it by themselves. Lone wolfing doesn't work. That force is in you. I want to reach out like I'm looking you in the eye to let you know it's in you. I was a fucking dead duck, guys. I was dead. I thought, like, I literally thought I was emotionally broken. I just didn't think I had. It's like my queen was at me for years, and you can hear my words, at me. It's like it felt irritating. I did not look at it with divine feedback, with reverence for her feedback, her sensitivity, being able to know within a nanosecond if I'm present or not. I didn't relate to it. She was at me. She was irritating me. And what was irritating me for those 12 years was I just thought it was broken. I genuinely believe that what she was asking of me, emotional attunement, intimacy, be more emotionally present, I didn't know what that was about. I didn't know how to access that. I thought I was broken. I just want you to know, it's like when you're listening, you're not broken. It's just the skill set. Hey, it was shamed out of you by a dysfunctional society, but you're not dysfunctional. You just haven't yet got the skill set in order. That's why I've set up the circles. Point number three, going deep here. A strong man doesn't have to be dominant towards a woman. He doesn't match his strength with a woman weak with love for him. He matches it against the world. I'm going to repeat this fucking juicy shit, guys. A strong man doesn't have to be dominant towards a woman. He doesn't match his strength with a woman weak in love for him. He matches it against the world. So many layers to this. I mean, this really gets me going. A strong man. Multiple different layers to what that means. I can't state. I know exactly what Marilyn Monroe was pointing to, but what comes up for me again, it's presence. It's you're a mountain. You know you're strong inside, and again, the major issue in marriages is that a guy has some deep longing to bring his strength, and he perceives his wife is uncomfortable with his strength, and when he brings that strength, and we end up doing this thing of, we bring our power out in ways that is not conducive to growing connection and trust together. Our strength, we do it in unconscious ways where I'll make the decision anyway, or we go ahead without her approval, or we show our strength at times, you know, in arguments. We'll deepen our voice, we'll take a big stance. Most guys are, like, if you are technically emotionally abusive in conflict, the vast majority, I'd say every guy technically ticks the box for emotional abuse. You know, if you close the door loudly, if you stonewall and you just don't talk, it's emotional abuse. It's a manipulation. You mightn't intend to do it. It's happening because you actually don't have the toolkit to know how to navigate that. It's literally, you can't navigate conflict if you don't have the skill set necessary. So your best intentions in the world. But I just want to say that it's like, guys will come in and you might be there like going, oh no, not at all, you know, like, we don't do conflict. I hear a lot of, I didn't do conflict for the last few years of my marriage before my wife fell in love intoxicated with another guy. I would have been one of the guys going, oh, but I'm not abusive, you know. It's like, we get on, we're getting on really well, we make love every now and then, it's like, things are good, there's no arguments had stopped. So I would have been in, I could be listening to this episode if it's a different guy, parallel universe, I don't know, some shit, and I would have been listening to this episode, what I'm saying to you now, and I would have been like, point blank, I'm not an abusive guy, you know. You know, I'm always nice with my queen. We don't argue. We don't do conflict. My queen was dying with hopelessness. She felt helpless. Like, me, her husband, had maxed. She had lost all hope that I would ever improve. And I would have been there arrogantly sort of going, I'm not emotional. Maybe that's for some other bad guys out there. It was my emotional abuse of ignoring her. It was my emotional abuse of ignoring, you know, all her feedback, all the times when she was asking for more. And as I ignored her, I didn't seek support, help. I didn't read books, or if I read books, I didn't. It wasn't enough. I didn't seek counseling, therapy, men's work was the ultimate. Men's work, men's work, men's work. I'm like the greatest advocate of men's work on the planet. That's what I pitch myself at. I believe in it. The entire movement, a million guys by the end of 2034 that will be members of Heroic Husbands men's circles. It's men's work. The passion is for men's work, but like in men's work, it's about being in your full strength, but you're never dominant towards your woman. You know, he doesn't match his strength with a woman weak in love for him. And hey, there's a little bit that middle sentence. And again, it's things can be out of context. And I believe I know what Monroe was feeling. You know, a woman weak with love for him. Not so much weak that I would describe it vulnerable. Because a woman to really, you know, fall in love with a man. With like a devotional love for him. An honouring of his masculine core. I brought it up recently. The metaphor, the example of the masculine-feminine dance in pairs figure ice skating. I hope I'm terming that correctly. You guys in the States, Canada, you've got ice skating culture there. I hope I'm terming it right. Anyway, you know the figure skating where there's a man and woman, and it's like it's the masculine and feminine dance. It's like dance around culture. It's masculine and feminine, but it's like the masculine pole in the figure skating. It's like he's the one that is the mountain, that like some of the most spectacular parts of the ice skating in pairs is when the woman jumps up, leaps up onto the man's support, and then he twists around, does crazy shit as she's floating, like, you know, 7.5 foot up in the air over rock hard ice. That's the weak in love. The feminine to go there, that reveals her whole heart, like Monroe speaks in the first quote, you know, I'm selfish, impatient, a little insecure, I'm out of control, and at times hard to handle. Pure feminine essence. You know, but if you can't handle me at my worst, you're sure as hell don't deserve me at my best. That's the weakness in love with a man. You know, the great lover, a powerful man, a woman surrenders to that. That's, I believe, the core of what Monroe is pointing to. In my words, it's like a great man can make a woman weak with love for him because she surrenders. And I believe that was the quality, like Monroe would just surrender into a powerful man's presence. And that was why she was like so intoxicating as a woman, as a lover. It's like pretty much at mythological levels of like this, why we still speak about her, because she was so red hot. Like she was like enticing with her feminine attractiveness, like the masculine core, just like because she was so untamable, unboxable, unpredictable, that's what was fucking like driving powerful men insane to be with her. But he doesn't match his strength with that, with his woman's sort of fragility and vulnerability, because she goes there and surrenders in his presence. He'll never dominate her there with his strength. He matches his strength against the world. Recently in the movement, I'm going to be talking more and more. There are three masculine leadership traits, characteristics, that drive our women insane, in love with us, insane with levels of trust. Trust and feeling safe is everything for the feminine to be able to surrender into us, into our presence. And the third quality, leadership quality, is protection. Setting boundaries to stop forces that impede upon your family's capacity to fully express their entire human expression into the world, to gift their fullness. You set boundaries that stop forces. And it stops forces with the world, but also forces inside of yourself. Forces that could dominate your woman. You set boundaries inside of yourself and you realize, oh, I raised my voice there. I never want to raise my voice. Forces of, you just go and blame. We do the blame, shame and claim story. What thoughts happen in your head in moments of conflict with your queen? 99% of guys that are honest, 100% of guys that come in application calls in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, they all go through a journaling process and it's like, oh, 80% blame and 20% shame and 0, 1%, whatever, like a tiny bit of claim, claiming extreme ownership in the moment, or 50-50, whatever. But there's a, most guys resonate when they get really honest with it. It's like, yeah, God, in conflict, there's a ton of blame thoughts, thoughts against your queen. That's dominance. And again, the nice guy part of you, the Mr. Nice Guy, oh, but I don't speak it. Like, get, like, this is the part where I had to with myself. When I say get the fuck over yourselves, guys, because I practice that way of relating with, within myself. I have inner conflict. I'm always working. That's self-mastery. But there's a part where I call myself to account and go, Mark, get the fuck over yourself. Come on. The get the fuck over yourself is blaming thoughts. When you marinate in blaming thoughts in front of her, you're driving off to work and it's like, oh, fuck her, like, you know, like, I deserve better, she's being such a bitch, like, why is she bringing this up again, why is she always complaining, blah, 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 it's against her. That's dominance. That's explicitly, energetically dominating your woman. And like the part of get the fuck over yourself, you know, the Mr. Nice Guy, oh, but I rarely say it to her. Get the fuck over yourself. When you're there, if I'm in front of you now, like if you're having a cup of coffee, and I don't know, it's like your thoughts, think about it on a practical level. Would you be able, like, will it change the message that my body is transmitting to you if I'm being a nice guy smiling, but like the majority of my thoughts are blaming you, or it's like the majority of my thoughts are thinking, this dude's an asshole. Oh, look at him. I'm criticizing everything from the car I've seen you driving in, from your behavior to your dress to fucking how you're eating, the lunch that we're having together. If I'm judging, blaming you for the fucking slurping sound, pet hate of mine, people that slurp. My older brother slurped at fucking crazy childhood shit, slurped. And it's a trigger point. It's a thing that triggers me. I have to actually practice unwavering focus to get beyond it. Anyway, if my nervous system is bombarding me with blame thoughts, thoughts that are against you, that are judging you, blame thoughts are like technically against the person in front of you, do you think you're going to pick it up from me? Of course you fucking are. You'll know it. Like, this is where we've got to not be irrational and get rational. Men out there, men of the world that 99% of us claim to, oh, we're rational. Like 99% of our arguments and our judgments of our queen is like, oh, she's so irrational. We're the most irrational bitches on the planet. Us men who claim we're rational, but we're actually deeply irrational. Because we think that, well, I'm blaming her in my head, but it's like, and we're caught with a ton of fucking emotion that drives that. When thinking and our actions are being driven by our emotions. Have you ever stonewalled? Most guys say yes. Have you ever argued with your queen and got really upset with her and frustrated? Yes. Well, that's all irrational. That's emotional reactivity. We're the most irrational bitches on the planet, claiming that we're rational. Part of the incredible success within Heroic Husbands is I do I reflect things back in the podcast, but we do, I put exercises in front of the guys so that they can inarguably see the fucking all-pervasive profound levels of their own irrationality, but they can see it rationally. I do exercises where they break it down with scientific, in scientific detail, where they're being irrational, so they can then get rational and come to their queen. So he doesn't match his strength with a woman weak in love for him. No, it's like the ice skaters, like, you know, a woman like your queen, she surrenders when she gives her feminine feedback. That's the most courageous thing she can do. If she's not complaining, she's giving feedback, she's challenging you to, like, to kingship. It's actually out of profound love for you that she gives you feedback. The warning signs, as I say, are is when she stops giving feedback, she stops in your mind, she stopped complaining. That's death zone for you, because she's not playing her feminine role. And he matches it against the world. Guys, you know, the man, a strong man, a strong husband, an heroic husband, a king, is primal with the world. And if you don't have that coming through you, that's okay. I didn't, and I'm still bringing more and more of it. But when I talk about being primal, you know, your strength, your woman is the most precious human being in your life. Your queen and your kids. It's visceral. You take it personal, and I'm not saying emotional reactivity. There's a lot of fucking immature things, and like, but I like, it's visceral. You take it personal when any force, any person, any anything in the environment pretends to fuck with your queen, to fuck with her happiness. And you get comfortable and practice retraining your nervous system to allow anger be there. I'm not saying aggression. There's a big distinction. You will protect your queen at all costs and allow your anger to be there and be sensitive to it, knowing it's one of the most important leadership emotions for you to harness the wisdom of, and you'll set boundaries with the world. That's what Monroe is speaking to. You'll never dominate your wife. She's the most precious human in the world. Again, it's like you have all of these opinions about her, and then like she gets a diagnosis of cancer or she dies. And Lord, lo and behold, the amount of love and the wails and the crying and the passion and the glory, how amazing she was and how dear I miss her. And you're fucking devastated, because why? Death or a cancer diagnosis, some fucking diagnosis, or divorce papers. That's another key time. It's like a moment of death to your marriage. You'll hear it. Guys dominate their wives. They dominate their wives with lack of action. They dominate their wives with aggression. They dominate their wives with just not fully giving a shit about her. Not actually dominating your wife is just taking her for granted. It's horrible. I did it for years. I'm not saying it makes you wrong, but it's like it is a sin in the literal sense. The root of the word sin is like missing the mark. It's missing the mark big time. It's not a sin in like a biblical, I don't go with that type of sin. But it's majorly missing the mark. I get guys coming. I had like one powerful guy. He has joined the movement there literally in the last week. Man, you might know who you are. It's like, it's not a unique thing, but it's like he was listening into the podcast and he went to therapy, and his woman put divorce papers in front of him. He got in a call. It was like, hey, Mark, I don't know, is there a point joining at this point? I was like, hey, man, let's just fucking go all in, masculine, non-surrender. Like, you gotta fucking dig deeper like ever before. Can a miracle happen? Yeah. Can I guarantee it? No. Would have been better if you joined, you know, a year ago when you started listening first. But man, let's not do regret. Like, you gotta make up ground, man. Come in, fucking like tear into it, man, and you'll see what happens. You gotta take action and not dominate your queen and not wait till the divorce papers to come alive to stop dominating her and actually do your fucking work, where you, instead of dominating her, you liberate her. And this comes to the fourth beautiful point. So much inspiration. You can feel it coming through me. I actually came on going, hey, Mark, just like tap out at like 30 minutes. I do that shit, guys. There's times I pretend, because with the morning, it's now, I'm looking at my clock. It's 8:30. Normally I'm 8 o'clock in my morning. I'm out, I'm doing the stuff in the yard. I have my unwavering focus practice out there. Inspiration takes me over and I go with that. The fourth and final Marilyn Monroe beautiful wisdom is, the wise girl knows her limits. The smart girl knows she doesn't have any. I fucking love that my 14-year-old daughter can feel the tsunami of joy and beauty and power that comes through this, and hence she put it proudly up over where she does all her art and her writing and her poetry and writing songs. Fucking amazing. Creative energy is feminine energy. I was looking at a book that my queen has. I think it's called Women That Run With Wolves. Fucking major book. It's all about women, feminine energy. I will get to it at some point. It's like a major investment, time and energy. It's coming. But I flick open at night time when I'm coming to bed. Sometimes the book is always out. I flick open just chapters. It's like I'll read for 5-10 minutes and on I go. And I read once, it's like creative energy. A woman that isn't creating is dead. Creating something. And it's like it comes from this. The smart girl knows she doesn't have any limits. The wise girl knows she knows her limits. The smart girl knows she doesn't have any. You don't have to be anything. But if you desire to be the hero in the eyes of your wife. I'm talking about heroics that many, 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 many years from now, and I hope yourself, myself, our queens, we live it out to the fullest, longest, happiest, healthiest lifespan that is possible. To have your wife, like in the deathbed scene, in the coming home in life, for you to be there completely dropped in, and your queen as well, in your arms, growing old together, in a way where both of your hearts and nervous systems and minds just know, like, you came, you saw, you conquered, like Julius Caesar style. But you conquered all limitations, and you emptied your full heart and soul into life. You've sang, you've played all your music. There's no music left in you. Or there's plenty of music left in you, but you know what I mean. It's like you just couldn't have maxed all the music that came through you, all the beauty, all the love, all the reverence, all the devotion, all the discipline, all the brilliance, all your creative expressions, individually and collectively together. You need to, if that's the reality that you desire, and like, honestly, what fucking man does not want that? The only reason you might him and haw at that is like you don't believe it's possible with you. I challenge you. It's okay that you have beliefs like that. Again, I said earlier on this, I believed I was broken. I've had men hold space for me and challenge me into certain emotional expressions and push my limits psychologically that I'm now learning. It's like, hey, onwards and upwards. I don't have limits. But in this society, as men, we need to completely eradicate, do whatever is necessary to eradicate the feeling that women are weak, women are inferior. And again, nice guy persona is like, oh, but I don't see her as inferior and I don't see her as weak and I don't know. Well, I give me like fucking 30 minutes with you and I'll pose certain questions and I'll be like, hey, okay, like how are you in moments of closure with her? How much blame and shame? Guys, like it's every single guy. We don't mean to, but we put limits. We think they're limited. What I'm doing, what I have been progressively doing with my queen, and we were talking about this yesterday, like for a good hour. Like I'm doing this work about 5.5 years, and we're doing up our kitchen. We've an old Irish cottage, and we're doing it up bit by bit. And my queen, we installed a new kitchen. We got the cabinets from IKEA because it's like whatever, just get the main bulk of it. But my queen wanted to do like her own personal touch on the doors, handles, etc. So she went out to the shed. She's been handcrafting. She's been doing it over months. And I have learned, and she said it's like the last year. It's been growing over the years, but she said it's the last year that she feels my absolute trust in her. That no matter what project she goes at, she said she feels the absolute trust. It's and she feels the safety that whatever she's going to do, that I'm absolutely behind what she's going to do. And she said, like, the particular thing is she knows, because it has happened on a couple of occasions where, like, if she makes a mistake or the thing doesn't come out as she wanted, these are creative projects where my wife is like playing with the outer limits of what she believes is possible or possible. She didn't know she could do the doors. She'd never done the doors, but she loves carpentry and she's done projects and she wanted to try it. I was like, baby, go for it. I know it's going to be brilliant. And I surrendered. I practice absolute surrender to go, what's going to come true is going to be amazing. And if it doesn't come out like quote unquote successful, like in Matilda's eyes, she'll have learned so much, but like she's growing so much. It's astounding to see what's coming through her. She, as a result of me, hey, getting my shit together, not perfect, but doing more and more, and looking at her like, she's a smart girl because she knows she doesn't have any limits. Well, you can bet your bottom dollar that she had plenty of limits in her belief system, but reading masculine feminine dynamics, feminine, it's all about creativity. A woman that's alive needs to be creating. I've learned to go with absolute trust in her process. That all my so-called wisdom and my limited thinking, and I'd be looking at a project. I'm going to be looking at projects different to her. I've just like, just shut the fuck up, Mark. Don't do devil's advocate stuff. Don't start trying to figure out, her, like, and advise her. Just trust her. Gift her that full trust. Guys, my queen beyond limits, like when she goes into this and she's allowed play with the limitless nature to go beyond her limited mindset from wounds. She's written to completion her first novel. To completion. She had it as a project, as a potential idea for years and years and years. In the last year, she's written that to completion. In the last months, we're in the moment now of paying the last $1,000 installment for a professional editor to bring her book to the next level. That for her, again, it's limitless. I'm holding space for limitlessness. It's like, baby, of course. She was feeling guilt and anxiety. She's like, oh, like we're investing that much money. And it's like, Mark, you could have, like, you want to invest certain parts into business trainings and new things for the podcast, etc. It's like, oh God, she was having this sort of emotional shit fit. It's like, baby, you're the most important human being in my life. It's like your creative endeavors brings you into the limitless nature more. You expand into your limitless nature. It's like what's going to come back from this is going to be worth like 10 billion fold to me, to you, to the girls. And it's like, hey, you inspired? That inspires me. What inspires me? My nervous system inspires the podcast, inspires the movement. It's like, hey, trust me, it makes good business sense. We have a laugh about it. She's doing her podcast. She's leading other women around the world. In the last year, she has got creative with in her parenting and is overcoming so much of her parenting issues that she had with her mother, and she stopped projecting, got like radically humble, and she's saying sorry with the girls, and like she's on fire. And hence our girls are on fire. It's fucking spectacular to see limitless feminine energy at work. So the wise girl knows her limits. Fuck your wife being a wise girl knowing her limits. Encourage her. Invite her. Set the stage up and challenge her. But like set the stage. Don't force her onto the stage, but go, baby, the spotlight's on. There's the stage. What about that new business? What about writing that book? What about getting the editor? What about going to that dance class? What about writing that song? You've told me for years, you played the guitar at college and you've always wanted. What about just doing it? I'll make time. What about it? What about it, baby? And set the stage up in the ecosystem of your life, in your presence, where her reclaiming, reconnecting, remembering her limitless feminine nature, it happens. And you are not going to criticize her. And you'll fucking never, ever, ever bring it back to her, like, where she makes a mistake and say, oh, well, I knew that was going to happen. I told you so. Guys, like, that you deserve a punch in the nose. People is like, oh, men's work, you know, you can't, you know. A therapist can't say this. And it's like, some people would like, oh, that's wrong, or you deserve a punch in the nose, that's so aggressive, like, down with that. You deserve a fucking slap in the face. You fucking deserve it if you bring what I brought to my queen. I fucking, the me of before deserved a slap in the face. I was doing all the devil's advocate shit every single time she'd suggest a project. I'd bastardize her with all my devil's advocate. Oh, but have you considered this? And I'd talk limitations and she'd stop. It was a fucking tragedy what I was putting her through. And I know from countless guys that I'm talking with, unwittingly, it's not your intention, but you're putting her through the shitter because you're putting her through, like, a rational process when she just wants to go limitless free. And just fucking trust her. Let her off. Let her make 1,000 mistakes. And you will see a beauty and a passion and a joy and a smile and a power come through her that, man, you better get your shit in order, because trust me, it's intense. Because her coming into her full creative power, my queen feeling into and embodying her full limitless nature, there's no stopping her now. Her feedback to me is deeper and more penetrating and direct and challenging than ever before, because she's like, well, I've risen to here, I'm in limitless state. Well, sexually, you gotta be more in leadership. Financially, we're not secure yet. Get your shit in order. Like, everything. But it's fucking glorious. So, dare I say, we're coming into landing here. Marilyn Monroe wisdom. And how to be a great lover, a great husband, a great fucking man. I'm selfish, impatient, and a little insecure. I'm out of control at times and hard to handle. But if you can't handle me at my worst, you sure as hell don't deserve me at my best. If your wife isn't giving you consistently her best, it's because you're a fucking asshole, probably. I imagine, and she definitely probably say it, when she's at her worst. You're not holding space for any of her. So if you're complaining about anything your queen is showing up, you're not handling. You've yet to get the skill set to handle her at her worst, and you're not getting her best. She can't trust you. Be present. You will be the lover that thrills your queen by simply touching her head, smiling in her eyes, or staring into space, or doing any fucking mundane, simple human activity around her when you get present. Get fucking present, guys. Do whatever it needs. The strong man doesn't dominate. He matches his strength against the world. Protect her. Not because she's weak, because she's so damn precious. And set the scene up that your queen is the smart girl that knows she doesn't have any limits. But you've got to set the space around you, your physical environment, your psychological, emotional space, where she can come in and she knows you are the most supportive, encouraging person, and you're not going to take a fucking shit on any mistake. You know, the creative process, tons of mistakes. That's the road of self-mastery. You're not going to take a shit on any mistake she makes, on any experience she has. You are relentlessly, unstoppably supportive and encouraging of her creative endeavors, of her limitlessness. That's it. It's simple, it's a massive task, it's the most satisfying and fulfilling way of life, guys, when you start having this available to you. I was on a call with a guy this morning and had to reflect back to him. Like, he was sort of feeling like, oh God, but like, I feel so intimidating, the idea of coming into Heroic Husband's Men's Circle. It's like, I don't have this available to me. You know, I'm not so passionate. I don't know myself. I don't know what my purpose is, blah, blah, blah. I was like, man, do you think I did 5.5 years ago? Guys, you can feel it in me. This is available. This is your locked potentiality, your locked power. And it's the process of remembering that. If you would like support with that, lone wolfing, I unapologetically put that message out again and again and again and again. I want to get it into the culture so that millions of men can go, fuck, lone wolfing, it does not work. It doesn't. Every Olympian, every CEO, every person that's doing badass shit in the world and realizing their potential and realizing they're playing the infinite game, they've got coaches, they've got people supporting them. They've got a men's group. They've got people supporting them. Kings have king's councils. Boys, lone wolf. You don't want to be a boy wrapped up in an adult body anymore. I want to put it out there. The carrot and stick is coming into landing in the new year. In 2025, the price of the monthly subscription price, the investment to come into Heroic Husbands Men's Circles and enjoy the infinite benefits that come your way and the way to your wife, marriage, parenting, every aspect of your life, the price is going up because we're expanding. I'm training up new leaders. It's astounding the benefits and the results that are being enjoyed by men all around the world. So, hey, guys, it was an intro price. The intro price of $149 per month is locked in until the end of this calendar year. You might as well lock that in now. A lot of guys love it. It's year-round support. I have a men's circle 24/7 around the clock every week of the year. So it's a long-term thing. You might as well lock in. There's a 33% price increase coming. You might as well lock it in at $149 rather than paying, I believe it's going to be $199 per month starting in the new year. Lock it in now. I'm saying lock it in now. Best time to plant a tree. It's 20 years ago. Second best time is today. The best time to transform your marriage was getting your shit and ducks in a row on your marriage day or before. You didn't have the toolkit. That's okay. The second best time is today. There's no third best time. Tomorrow is a bad fucking time. Because why? You're going to be busy and overwhelmed tomorrow and you're going to put it off to the day after that. Tomorrow or any day in future is not a tolerable time to transform yourself, to transform your marriage, because you're going to be busy and you're going to put it off. Today is the time. Lock in that 33% price reduction long term. It takes 30 seconds, guys. Get into the podcast description. The link is there. 30 seconds of courage, man. It'll be the single greatest decision of your entire adult life. We will back that claim up. Deep brotherly love from Roscommon, Ireland. I celebrate you and acknowledge your courage to listen in, to be where you are in the octagon of marriage. It's onwards and upwards. In perfect alignment with the mantra of our movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.